Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, welcome to the Dork Forest. My name is Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com, just for giggles. I bought it. Anyway, the credits, let's do it. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, because he does, and he does a fantastic job of it, Patrick Brady. Bill Mosch, he's the guy who fixes my website, JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg composed and sang the opening song, Mike Rickberg, with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen. And then he sings, at the end, the Mexican Hat Dance. Mike Rickberg, again. Somebody tweeted today that they thought it was Andy. No, that's Mike Rickberg. Made up the lyrics to the Mexican Hat Dance. Made me laugh. The first pre-recorded episode about 3 or 4 years ago. So if you go to the dorkforest.com and scroll all the way down to number one, which is the pre-recorded ones, the 260-odd pre-recorded ones, that's Mike Rickberg. That's him talking to me about sound and music and fury. Now, I don't know that that's true about fury. Okay. Credits, websites, November, December, you know the rules. I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest. I ask that you donate to the Dork Forest every other month of the year, but in November and December, find a food bank. Find someone who needs a sandwich and give them a sandwich. Go to feedingamerica.org and you can find the food bank in your neighborhood. If you are not in America, and Google the words, your town, not those words, the actual name of your town, whatever it is. Maybe you're in Edinburgh. Google that word and then Google the words food bank and then it'll come up and then you can give them food. You can give them money and they will buy then they might get a deal. So my sister says, Darla Cashian, says that, it's better to give money if you can, because they get the things that they actually need and they might get a deal on them because they're a food bank. But if you like to give food, you know, do that too. Do whatever you want. But I appreciate it. If you want to order something for the holidays or just because you're a ranger of the Dork Forest, you can go to JackieCation.com and go to the store. I got CDs. I got the new DVD and the new CD called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. I got my old CDs, Circus People and It's Never Going to Be Bread. And those are all available. And there's deals if you buy a lot of them. I have in stock some hooded sweatshirts. I got two of each size. So small, medium, large, extra large, and double X. If you want a hooded sweatshirt, I have them in stock. They're $50 domestic, $60 international, and buy them until they're not available anymore, if you like. Other than that, if you order from Amazon, most of us do, there's a banner on JackieCation.com, and I recommend that you go through that. It doesn't cost you any extra. It's just a portal from JackieCation.com into Amazon. You do your regular order. And then I get a little kickback, and I appreciate that a great deal. And shows. I'm at Flappers this week in Los Angeles, doing a bunch of L.A. shows in November. And then in December, I'm on the road with Brian Regan, and then I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So thanks for listening. Let's get to the show. Shattering conventions, shattering conventions, shattering, shattering. Hey, I sang. It's Jackie Cation. Shattering conventions, commerce, cosplay and conflict on the expo floor by Bob Calhoun is this month's sponsor. It's a hilarious and disturbing book. Friend of the show, conventions dork Bob Calhoun, has been on the show previous episode. He goes to all kinds of different conventions, trade shows and expos, and writes about it in Shattering Conventions. But he doesn't just go to Comic-Con and Star Trek conventions. He goes to a gun show, a livestock show, a Republican convention, a conspiracy convention. I remember being slightly worried when he went to that one. And even a Bigfoot Hunter Con. There's all kinds of crazy and wrong in this book, and it's not always where you expect to find it. Not only have I read this book, I endorsed it with a blurb on the back cover, and I recommend it to all rangers of the Dork Forest and spooky reading girls within the sound of my voice. The book is Shattering Conventions, Commerce, Cosplay, and Conflict, on the expo floor by Bob Calhoun. It's available in ebook and paperback from Amazon.com and other fine booksellers. For more on the book, go to shatteringconventions.com. It's a really good book. You should get it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I am sitting across from friend of the show, Tony Sam.
Hello.
Tony Sam of at Tony Sam, TOEKNEESAM. That is your Twitter handle.
It's cute.
It's adorable. It really kind of sums up the stand-up comedy of Tony Sam, which is full of wordplay and very silly and fun and smart and good. So TOENEESAM. Tony Sam at Twitter. And then your Tumblr is where people can see like your schedule and stuff, your stand-up schedule. TonySamComedy.tumblr, whatever. And then your new album, which just came out a month ago or so or something.
It came out a month ago.
Yeah. Scaredy Cat. From Stand Up Records, Dan Schlissel, friend of the show as well.
That's right.
Many years ago, he's been wanting to come back and talk to me about punk rock. He did my the Horcrux album, and he did the Bread album.
I love the artwork on your album.
Oh, Jenny Fine did a fine job on the album.
We both have very nicely done album covers.
Yeah, who did the art on yours?
This guy, Austin Salmi. He works at Disney. He's fantastic.
There we go. Let's all check it out, ladies and germs. And I said germs.
Germs. Let's, you know the thing about Dan and I, we both love tiki.
Oh, he does love tiki.
He really loves tiki.
I was in Austin, Texas. All I did was post it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and all of a sudden I get a call. He's like, there's a tiki bar.
You gotta check this one out.
There's a tiki bar in Austin. I'm actually in Austin. Do you want to meet me at this tiki bar? And I was like, almost never.
I actually went to a place he'd never been, and I was floored. To Damon's in Glendale.
You've experienced something that he did not.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you throw it in his face?
I did.
A little bit.
Pretty good, too.
Sure. Good for
delicious.
You.
Delicious.
Good for you.
Whee!
I'm excited about your dorkdom because for years, I've been trying to get Sarah Cohen on, Mike Rickberg's girlfriend of many years, who sings the Dork Forest theme with Mike Rickberg, to talk about fish. Because you like fish,
well,
and I've
I
yet to get
it in college.
What? What'd you get your?
I have a degree in marine biology.
Where'd you go to college?
In molecular. I went to Florida Atlantic University.
Awesome.
Right on the ocean.
Right on the ocean. So, did you take scuba diving as a class?
No. But
by the way, if you're allergic to nuts, there's cashews. These cashews have nuts.
Sorry,
in them.
Today's podcast sponsored by Dove Chocolates and.
I know. I went and I got a sea salt caramel dark chocolate this time, as well
delicious.
As the Dove Dark. They have dark promises.
You can't put this stuff in front of me and not. I can't stop eating it.
No, I know. I don't blame you. I don't begrudge you that. But
I haven't eaten solid food in 2 days.
TMI. A lot of info.
So, So I started going to school up in right outside Chicago, northern Illinois.
Yeah.
And I went through many different permutations of a major. I started as an art major, and a girlfriend told me, there's no money in art.
Wow, she sounds really nice.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Because that's what you should study,
and then
something.
I was like, yeah, you know what, maybe you're right. And then I had the fear of, you know, failure hanging over my head from my parents, and so I was like, well,
sweet.
I should go into something that's stable, and I'll pick biology. So I started as a molecular biology major, transferred down to Florida Atlantic when my parents split, and I was like, well, I always wanted to do marine biology because we have the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of the greatest aquariums.
Is it? Is it a great
in
aquarium?
The country,
I've never been to the aquarium in Chicago.
It's one of the oldest. They have an aquarium.
Do you have really old fish there?
They're really, well, they are. They're huge and old. And when you see an old fish, you really feel sad because its eyes are all glazed over.
Oh, right.
And
weird.
Like, they look like.
Do they look like old people?
Injected with fat or something. Just huge.
So just like old people.
Yeah, that's right. Saggy fish. It's a thing.
But that's
crazy.
Those
are the ones you don't want to eat. If you caught it, you'd be like, ugh.
It's step five chicken that you get at Whole Foods. You don't want to eat that either. That is for stock. I bought one because I thought
not
it was.
True.
What it means is it's a chicken that has had a really good life, but you don't want to eat that chicken. You want to use that chicken to make soup because that chicken has lived too long to
Why
be
are we
any
doing
good
that
to eat.
With old people.
Well,
soup.
One day.
Bath water.
So what I did was I baked that chicken, and Andy kept referring to it as a stage five chicken instead of a step five chicken. And I said, one more time with the stage five joke, throwing the chicken out. $6.99 a pound.
It takes you out of the meal.
It really will
does.
Take you out of the meal. It'll take. So, but here's the thing. So talk to me. So you loved that aquarium as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I love an aquarium. That's pretty great. I like that Monterey thing up in Monterey.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a real good one because it's right on the ocean.
Generally,
and you feel like they could
city,
be allowed
to
be freed at any time.
they're so close. They're like, we just got to swim through one pipe. We just got to find that pipe.
This is a Finding Nemo kind of moment where if we right? could just get out of this tank.
I mean, Nemo, that wasn't as far-fetched as some people think. I mean, it right? could happen.
It could happen. It could happen once they get thumbs. So, right. So you've always liked
I did. I was always fascinated by it. And it's interesting because I didn't live anywhere near an ocean.
Right, just Great Lakes. It's big.
I mean, there's lake fish, trout, bass.
Right. But that's it. Yeah. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I mean, it was more about shipping than about the animals.
I was like, it was almost like I was handed a gift because
they got a divorce.
Out of high school, yeah.
You're like, I'm going to live my own dream.
I was accepted into the University of Miami in South Florida because I had always been interested in doing it. So my parents couldn't afford it. And my dad's like, well, you're out of luck, pal.
Fair enough.
Hey, you're out of luck, pal.
That's the way it goes.
There's no way, because it was a very expensive school. So I was like, excuse me, I'm drinking all this Diet Coke. I was like, well, I'll settle on. I was always interested in art as well. So when my parents got divorced, my mom was living there a year, and it was long enough to where I could get in-state tuition.
Oh, she moved down to Florida.
She did.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was like,
then you were like, I'm
going.
Switching over.
See you later.
Okay.
And so at the time, Florida was the cheapest place in the whole contiguous lower 48 that you could just go to college for the cheapest.
Okay.
So it was basically nothing.
You got to live your dream.
Yeah.
And so, but marine biology, that is a lot of science. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So when you're going to school, it's like they're trying to trick you because the science textbooks, they're all really fucking cool looking.
Oh, pretty, because they've got all the water on it, so there's a dolphin.
On the cover, there's like fluorescent test tubes or...
Oh, okay.
Or just, they make and it Flipper look like, science is cool! Da-da-da-da-da! It's like a guitar riff when you open
so
the
So you don't
book.
Know that you're learning science.
Hey, you've chosen science!
You didn't know! So it,
but,
it,
and it
didn't
is.
Feel
I
that
mean,
hard?
I will say, like, the learning of the stuff, it's cool. It's fascinating. You know, marine biology, the course, was my favorite because you go through all the kingdom and phylum and the genus of all the fish in the ocean, and then you study coral, and you study sea mammals, and it's just, it's fascinating. But
okay.
Cut to the actual practice of, you know, it's a very unglamorous profession. I know we like to think like, you know, Jacques Cousteau and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, because you're on the ocean, and it should be glamorous. Why isn't it glamorous?
Every one of my professors, it was very depressing.
Really?
Because they'd all, you know, not to say that being divorced should make anyone feel depressed, as though I have several in my under
last,
my belt.
Free at last. Come on, don't worry about it.
But they all lived in, like, trailers, and they just seemed sad.
They seemed sad, but didn't they get to talk to fish and hang out with fish?
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
Isn't that what they wanted?
At that time in my life, I was like, well, I want nice things one day because my family never had anything. And I was like, I want to have a job where I have nice things. And
okay.
And so like
and,
that
and the stuff
part of it,
that they didn't have was glaringly obvious.
Yeah. You know, okay. Like the professor of my class, my college course would show up in an old beat up pickup truck. And I was like, oh.
Oh, he's not okay. driving a Lexus,
oh.
that is.
Oh,
okay,
right.
So that's what that
so
job looks
this,
like.
Maybe this job doesn't pay as well.
So, but were there practical classes, too, where you got to swim with the fishes?
Yeah, so the good stuff didn't come until grad school.
Okay.
But the marine biology courses in undergrad, we'd go out into the field.
Because you were in Florida.
The school wouldn't, they weren't insured to have us all go scuba diving.
Okay.
So I didn't actually go scuba diving for undergrad. That all came in graduate school. You were required. That was one of the requirements to be in the program is you had to be certified.
Okay.
So we would mostly snorkel and we'd go into like the estuaries and the intercoastal waterway along the coast of Florida, which runs parallel all the way up to the coast.
By Miami or by other towns?
It would be Fort Lauderdale. So the school itself was located in Boca Raton.
Okay.
And that's the friendly neighbor to the north of Fort Lauderdale.
Fair enough. But and so all those coastal waters had like vibrant kind of things that you could study?
Yeah. So there was these parks, these nature reserves that were all up along the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
And in Boca Raton, there was one called I'm going to
space it,
punch but... myself if I can't think of it.
don't hit. There's no hitting. In just,
it was this. I can't remember the specific name of it, but you could go in there, and when certain times of the year, the sea jellies would come in, and they'd be all in the intercoastal, and they'd all be washing up. And
you could a jellyfish? Them. Is a sea jelly a jellyfish?
Yeah, well, they're not fish, so we call them sea jellies.
Oh, they are not fish.
Like also sea stars. You don't call them starfish.
Starfish we is got, not a fish.
If we said that in class, we'd. Oh, get in trouble.
All right. It was sort of like Tootsie, where you can't call it a soap opera. I get it. I get it.
Yes. This it's is exactly a great analogy. A Tootsie analogy.
I'll do a Dustin Hoffman analogy, push comes to shove. What is a jellyfish if it isn't a fish?
It's an invertebrate.
It's an invertebrate like a snake?
No, I mean, I guess
he doesn't know anything about animals. This
snakes
one.
Do have backbones.
Do they?
Yeah, they're vertebrates.
I've only read the Bible. I get all of my knowledge of...
He didn't bring two jellies on board the ark, I'll tell you what. He didn't mention those. Those are in the Bible. They don't exist. Thank you.
So they are invertebrates. They are invertebrates because I had never seen one until I think I had to be, I don't know, 23, 24 years old. I'd never been in the ocean until then either.
They're just very flexible.
They're super gooey. They're super like, and they float around. But and starfish don't have vertebrae either? Wait.
Nope.
So are they super gooey too? Because they aren't when they're all dried out, and you get them.
No, they're very hard when they dry up.
Yeah, but when they don't dry up, like when they're in the water, do they sort of float like jellyfish?
No.
Starfish? Oh, do they suck on?
No, yeah, they have their little tube feet on the bottom.
Okay, and that's how they move
walk
around.
Along, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Let's see. So sea stars.
Okay.
Sea urchins.
Sand dollars. Wait,
sea
if you
cucumbers.
Break those up, Jesus is in them.
They're all
serious.
Related.
It's all the Bible with me.
I know. I gotta check this book out now. Where can I get this?
Well, it is very popular.
Well, everyone gets a complimentary copy.
Right. I don't know that there's the sand dollar. I got one when I was a kid from my aunt who lives in Huntington Beach, and it came with a poem, and it said that there was
like a fortune cookie.
Like it came with a poem that the peace doves come out of it if you break it. It's you don't want to break a
what kind of line of crap is that?
I was handed a bill of goods as a child, and weirdly enough, she sent us my sister and I, we got all of these different seashells and sand dollars in a Tampax box. Not even kidding. That was the only box she had to send up. I may still have the box.
Oh, my God. What a
hi,
visual.
Aunt Pam. You still listening? Anyway, so it's a sand
dollar.
It's
the only package I could find.
It was the only
I go through those things like crazy. Oh, heavy flow, I'll tell you what.
Heavy flow. All right. So, but a sea urchin, I've only had those as food.
Oh, do you like them?
I didn't like it very much. It was a little slimy, but like I'll do salmon
it's
eggs
very,
for summer.
You got to really
what do they look like, a sea urchin in
well,
life?
Well, so the ones I named, sea urchin, sand dollar, sea cucumber, and sea star, they're all related. They're all echinoderms.
Okay, echinoderms.
So the sea star has five.
Oh, right. So five,
right?
Right. Five legs, essentially.
If you cut through the ones that you wouldn't necessarily see.
Okay.
Wrong time to drink a Diet Coke.
Fair enough.
If you cut them open, you'll see that they have this symmetry that is five spines radiate.
It kind of goes
out.
All the way to the core of the being.
Right. So, okay. And you look on top of the sand dollar, you see that there is almost.
Yeah, there's
like
five things as well.
5 points.
Yeah.
And they're all related.
And that is true with the sea urchin and the.
Mm-hmm.
And the.
So, like the sea cucumber is this long thing, but if you cut it like you would like a. Say
like
a
cucumber.
Or a cucumber.
Right.
And you look down it, you would see it has five.
Oh, interesting.
Distinct points.
And that is why scientists said these are all related.
That's right. So they're all classified in the same, genus?
Genus? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And so it was in grad school that you really did a lot of scuba diving?
Right. So you had to
You did snorkeling as undergrad.
Right. And I also had been certified as an undergrad. That's when I started. I fell in love with it. And I'd always wanted to do it. And so at the time, it was only like it was $100 to get certified.
Oh,
and
wow.
You just had to buy your equipment.
Did you have to own it like bowling shoes? Did you have to own your own equipment?
You were required to have your own wetsuit. I mean,
okay.
That just seemed like the thing I would need anyway.
Right.
You need your mask, a snorkel,
you didn't
and
need,
fins.
You didn't need tanks.
No, they supplied all that stuff. You could always rent it.
And you could rent tanks.
But
if you...
I knew I was going to go a lot, so I bought everything.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
and then you just have to get them refilled, right?
That's right.
You run out of air.
It made sense to have a tank. It made sense to have a tank in South Florida because it was a lot easier to go scuba diving all the time.
Okay. If you had all of the items, then you didn't have to find anybody.
The reef off of Florida, there's three tracks of reef that run off. There's the first reef, second reef, and third reef. And they're each at varying depths. But the first reef, you can reach from shore. You could swim out.
Okay.
Enough, and you can drop down, and then you're right on top of it. So you
oh,
can go
wow.
shore diving a lot more easily, readily, easily.
Right, you didn't need a boat or anything.
Right. Here in Southern California, it's more or less, there are some shore dives, but for the most part, you got to take a boat.
You got to find somebody to...
Right. They have charters, but they are pricier. It's a lot more expensive to go scuba diving here, and it's cold as...
All hell
Bizzuck.
Or fuck. Yes. And when you did snorkeling, what were you looking at? You're just sort of looking at little schools of fish or whatever?
I hate snorkeling.
Because it isn't scuba diving?
Well,
is that what?
And always, I always get water in the snorkel. I feel like it's like, hey, you want to feel like you're drowning? Snorkel.
Right.
It's terrible.
It's, well, but, and you go under and, if you go all the way under, then the tube is underwater, and then you can't breathe then.
Well, usually if you rent snorkel gear, they give you the shittiest stuff you could ever get. And so if water comes over,
what's a good brand of snorkel gear?
Favorite stuff is by this company called, God, I never know how to say it. It's Italian. I took some Italian. I can never say it right. Mare.
How do you
Mare's,
spell it?
Mares. It's
I'm not going to judge
Italian
you. I don't know any.
Italian for the sea.
When I was in Italy.
Italian sausage.
I asked where the post office was, but I said, L'Ufficio Postale. And the guy goes, L'Ufficio. L'Ufficio.
L'Ufficio.
L'Ufficio Postale. And I was like, pardon me. Anyway, so Mares? And it's the Italian word for sea.
Could I just tell you real quick? So
yeah.
I went to Italy a few years ago, and I was determined to...
Really, Tony Sam? Do you have some Italian ancestry?
No.
None?
None at all. Well, probably. I mean, I have stuff from the Mediterranean, like French and Greek, so I'm sure there's some...
Somebody got
point. Conquered.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was determined. I was like, I got to go, and I need to know Italian when I go.
All right.
I took Rosetta Stone.
Took it.
And I made it through.
I bought
maybe
it.
Maybe the first. Oh, you have it too?
Yeah, I got it.
It's expensive.
It wasn't cheap.
It was, the
you
whole thing was like
even
almost $400, I think.
You know what made it? Was not. I got it for $79.
Oh,
I don't know.
I got screwed.
You did get screwed, but here's the thing. Made it more expensive that I never finished it. How about yourself? Did you finish it?
Oh, no. So that was a pricey lesson.
Yeah, that's the most expensive lesson ever.
I did learn a lesson. It was not Italian, but I did learn a lesson.
And it was translated using this Rosetta Stone. that was your
that's
big
right.
reveal.
I thought there'd be a rock inside there. I'd just hold it up to my forehead and I'd learn Italian.
Right.
So I'd never finish. And so I was going kind of on my honeymoon with my second wife.
Right.
And... So we get there. I can't remember anything, but I could convincingly walk into a restaurant, go up to the maitre d', and I'd be like, scusi. And they would just launch into Italian. I'd go, no, that's all I can say. I'm a phony. I'm a fraud.
Yep. And then that was...
yeah, or permiso.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Prego.
And then...
that was it.
And then gone.
Yeah.
So have you... But, okay, so I'm fascinated about the different genuses. I'm fascinated about the different kinds of fish. Because here's a question. Is a shark a fish?
Yeah.
A shark is a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's weird.
They're not a bony fish. They're all, I mean, their skeletons are all cartilage, but.
Okay.
And they are a fish.
So what's, but a dolphin is not a fish. And a whale is not a fish?
No.
Those are mammals. Okay.
Believe it or not, so all sea mammals, in one way or another, have hair. So whales have...
There's hair.
There's hair on them in some form or fashion.
Wow. And like, according to fashion, they would shave that hair off because nobody's doing any hair anymore. What I want to meet is I want to meet the dolphin or the whale that's willing to have pubic hair. At this late date in our society, it's being shaved off. Tony Sam is what I'm saying.
It's in.
It's in to just be free. Well, to, and, you know, you're down
like
in
I'm
the ocean.
To start because my hair has decided that this was the year that it's going to just all start falling out.
Oh! Your hair's falling out all over the place.
Yeah, it's crazy. Don't look at it.
Don't look at
Stop
your head.
It.
Stop looking at
Stop
your head.
Stop it. Curly hair is all about shaping. Can I just tell you that?
Okay.
Because if I had straight hair, I would look horrible.
Oh, you're lucky that it's all
so
curly because you
can
make
kind
it
of just
grow it out and it could be big.
Like push the curls up to this side and you won't expect
you
that
do have
more.
Very you do have very beautiful curly hair.
Oh, Miss Kishin, Are you?
I'm just stating the obvious is what I'm doing, sir.
Why are we holding hands now?
Wait a minute. And have some more Diet Coke. But here's my question about the different kinds of fishes. Do you only like salt water? Do you not? Are you into freshwater? Marine biology, does that imply salt water?
I mean, it's not necessarily. You can study.
A freshwater marine biologist?
Yeah, we did cover all the bases. There's the brackish waters that are a mix of salt water and fresh, and specifically fresh water and then specifically salt. Personally, I had freshwater tanks as a kid.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and one of the jobs...
Freshwater tanks?
Mm-hmm.
So you kept, like, trout? No, what kind of...
No, like goldfish. That's freshwater.
Is that fresh? Wait, I thought that they were... I thought that was... No, it's got to be freshwater because people are just taking the fish out and then filling it in the tap.
That's
and
right.
then dumping the fish back in.
I mean, that is a freshwater fish. You do have to treat the water to take out the chlorine and
okay.
stuff. And there is some
is
salinity.
Is that why people are killing their...
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
It's always wise to put some salinity in a freshwater tank just because... You know.
Table salt or uniodized?
Yes.
You want to go with a sea salt? Maybe,
there
or?
Is specific sea salt for marine tanks.
Oh, well, there is.
It's most of it's just scientifically engineered to be
to
close
duplicate.
Enough to they all the elements, the hard minerals that are in seawater.
Because they need trace minerals,
right.
I would imagine they get it from the
and
water,
especially
right?
if you're keeping coral, you need calcium carbonate.
Is that the coral? That-
or I mean calcium, rather, because the corals need calcium to generate their skeletons.
Oh, to make themselves alive.
Right, and grow.
To grow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They
well, that's
they need very hard water. It's. I mean, if you look at it in that way, I mean, you don't necessarily want to say, hey, I got hard water. That's good for fish. But all
right.
the minerals, they use all that. That's why it's very important that your levels, you check your levels and everything is checked out the way it should be because then you'll just everything dies. It's very sensitive. Marine tanks are very sensitive. They're very hard to keep.
More so than
if
freshwater
it's just fish.
Tanks.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, a marine tank with just fish is harder than just freshwater. But if especially you want to keep corals or invertebrates like shrimp.
Yeah.
There's some very pretty shrimp from the Pacific that. Like peppermint shrimp that sounds delicious and are really cool looking, too.
They cannot possibly... Why are they called... Because they have green and white stripes or something?
Yeah, they have red and white banded...
Oh, they look like candy canes, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah, they're really cool and pretty.
Peppermint shrimp?
There's also, the banded... I think it's called a banded shrimp. It makes sense, but it's also... it doesn't look like the peppermint shrimp. They're a little smaller, but they're all really cool. But
really?
They're very sensitive. You have to make sure the water is perfect because that's what they breathe, you know?
Right.
That's their life.
Right, right. So if you want to do a shrimp tank, that you would have to only have the shrimp in it, right?
Yeah, you'd...
Because you have to create
some
an
fish,
environment?
You could
or?
Put fish in there that, you know, are vegetarians. I mean, you want to make sure the fish you put together have this... Like
right,
diets
right.
that don't
that
clash.
Don't, right, you don't want to...
Like you wouldn't put a trigger fish in with... little soft crabs or crabs in general because
that triggerfish would be psyched.
They have little sharp beaks that are made for crushing.
Oh,
specifically, that they'd be like, hey, whoa, fresh food.
Wow, look at that. This is the best place ever. Yeah. What does a triggerfish look like? Does it look like a trigger?
Yeah, they have a spine on the dorsal spine that whenever they feel threatened, they wedge themselves in a rock. They stick that spine up like a trigger. It goes and it locks, and so you can't pull the fish out of that hole.
Oh, okay.
So it's a defense mechanism.
Oh, nice. Who eats a trigger fish? What eats a trigger
Bigger
fish?
Bigger fish.
Bigger carnivores.
Yeah,
okay.
Like most of your groupers.
Okay.
Or your rockfish, your bigger rockfish.
What do shrimp eat?
Shrimp eat smaller mysid shrimp.
Oh, do they?
And also,
so they aren't.
Well,
vegetarian.
No, those are filter feeders. They eat all the like they'll eat all the crap off the rocks. And
oh, okay,
like
mossy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's why you know they kind of absorb whatever's in the water around them. So if there's a high mercury content in water, and
oh, right.
Fish as well. I mean, anything that lives in. Basically, life soup.
Right. They're living in their life soup.
Yeah,
it's
so
like
it's readily absorbed into tissue.
Right, which is why we absorb whatever's in the air, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because we're out here,
mm-hmm.
and they're in the water.
Well, depending on where you live, like if there's, you know...
Like if you live next to the nuclear power plant.
That's right.
And it's got a lot of...
Like depending on where you live, people have higher levels of radioactive carbon in their bodies, I guess.
Right. You're not supposed to... There's a lot of... electrical lines, and then they put a lot of public housing next to them.
And schools and parks.
Yeah, schools and parks, because it's a lot of open air. You can play football there.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it's also electrified.
Yeah, have you noticed in L.A. that most of the high schools, the public high schools, are all along the highway?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, they're just soaking up that stuff.
It's terrible.
Is anyone checking the levels?
Right.
Yeah, someone should be checking the levels. Now, how often do you have to check the levels of, like, a shrimp tank? You should do it monthly?
Yeah,
or
every couple days.
Every couple days?
When you first set up a...
What was your first tank? What was your first tank when you were a kid? Did you just
we
have
just
a goldfish?
We just had goldfish. And we had a really big... Someone had given our family this huge... I want to say it was like a 50-gallon tank.
Yeah.
So we had goldfish in there that were gigantic.
Because they grow to be whatever, however big the...
Yeah, to a point.
Okay. Well, sure. They aren't monsters.
Hey, somebody walked a goldfish. Boy, it's huge.
I had a guy in college. I'd say it was my boyfriend, but it was just a crush. And I stood next to him for about 2 years, hoping that he would one day hit on me. Turns out he didn't. But the thing is he had a it would look like a cigar. It was called a cigar fish, I think it was. And he had to feed it like animals. He fed it things.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going for a Monica Lewinsky joke.
Oh, some sort of dick joke.
Yeah.
No. What I was going to go with was it looked like my Monica Lewinsky material.
Right? It's so
17
topical.
Years.
It's so topical now.
So, but the cigar fish, have you ever heard of a cigar fish? Is that a real thing?
Is that
or
a freshwater fish?
It looked like a freshwater fish to me. He didn't look like the most responsible young man you've ever met in your life.
I just find in general, freshwater tanks, a lot of people are trying to put like real plants in those because they're nice and green. And
oh, right, right.
They naturally filter the water.
Okay.
I never thought they were as interesting or pretty as
the saltwater ones?
Yeah, saltwater fish.
Do you have a tank now or did you get saltwater tanks ever?
I did. I had one here. I had one.
In life, have you had several tanks?
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, kind of. In college, did you have tanks?
No.
Because you didn't have to.
Yeah, in Florida I did. And then when I had one here... You know, I had nice Fiji rock. It was
what's
like
a Fiji
reef rock?
Reef rock.
Yeah, reef rock from Fiji, and
is that like volcano? I picture volcano rock.
It's just
a black
very
rock.
Colorful because it's covered in you know coral and encrusting sponge and all these different
sponges are alive.
That's right.
Why? What kind of animal are they? Are they a five-railed kind of
no,
thing, like a sand dollar?
They are also invertebrates, but like yeah. They're like sea jelly. They don't have brains or anything. They're just basically
they?
Like this living sieve or this.
It's like a fix-it kind of
yeah,
animal, right? Like
just,
they sort of help
it's
things.
It's just
or?
Absorbing nutrients.
What do they eat?
Essentially, nutrients from the water.
Okay. Can they grow to be monster size?
There's some big ones, and there's more like the vase sponges and Yeah, there's more sponges in the Atlantic.
Than there are in the Pacific.
For some reason. Like in the Caribbean, you'll see these huge vase sponges that you won't see in the Pacific.
It's called a vase sponge?
Yeah, they look like vases.
Looks like a big vase. That's cool.
And the ones you see, like the natural ones, those are, you know, those are from the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, the ones that people buy. And they're like, I'm going to buy a sponge.
So they're basically this like almost cellulose mass that's filled with these things called spicules. They're like spines.
Okay.
That help keep all the mass together and give them shape.
And then if you use that as a sponge, is that pokey? Or do they just get soft?
They're a little more abrasive and rough than like a fake sponge.
Right, right. And, well, that's crazy. So sponges.
Wow. Isn't that crazy they're alive, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy that all these things, like coral, I don't know.
Now, don't quote me on some things you know, if I say something that's incorrect and one of your listeners wants to attack
me. It'll be fine.
It's been a while, obviously, since I've studied all this stuff.
And fair enough, I get a regular email from different members of the Rangers of the Dork Forest letting me in on stuff, and then I forward it to you,
and then
people are psyched.
Guys, don't kill me.
No, nobody's going to kill you, but people are, like, I just sent a very long email off to Jared Logan about medieval and the history of the Middle Ages, because one of the listeners... I believe it was Ross Whitman. Well, he just had books, really cool books to read and some errors that were made. And Jared was like, this is the greatest email in the world. Someone wants to talk to me about the thing that I love.
That's great.
Yeah. So you might get an email like that.
Well, that's terrific.
From a fish dork that's out there. And then you'll be like, finally, someone knows of what I speak.
Someone will talk to me.
Right. But what's the coral business? Now, the thing is I have been snorkeling. Mm-hmm. On the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, boy.
Have you been?
No, I'd love to. I've been on the one in Belize, which is the second largest barrier reef.
Then I was on some reef out in Perth, which they said it's on the other side of the Australia.
I feel like it's colder water over there.
It was a little colder, but it was still super warm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about what I'm doing. All I know is that they kept saying, don't stand there. And
you're not supposed to stand up.
Right, you're not supposed to stand.
Because you're standing on the reef. Yeah.
Right, it'd be like someone standing on my head.
Yeah. Those are all. It's all stony corals. So it's all your hard corals that you got your lettuce corals and
everything's super beautiful.
Yeah, and it's all those are all
and they're brightly colored.
For the time being, they're all alive.
And they're alive.
And all those all the living things are built up on over thousands of years up. On other corals, so just they keep building and building and building. So
if
you cut into that rock, no.
Can you eat them?
No.
Okay, these are the basic questions.
The big thing that make up like a giant coral formation is essentially mostly just old dead coral underneath, and the outside is the only living portion.
Okay.
Of it.
So they just sort of grow on themselves. The older parts die off,
the
and then they
just
kind
keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Okay,
and they're on top.
And so, why are they dying? Like
they're very sensitive to the. I mean,
oh,
the
to the water,
in
to
the water.
Okay,
and actually also the heat.
Okay,
there's an ideal temperature that coral needs to be in, which is approximately probably like I'd say maybe 75 to.
Which is what, like 82? 20 Celsius or something like that? Or 18 to 23 Celsius?
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe 82 is probably even a little hot.
Okay.
The hotter the water gets, then that causes coral bleaching. And the coral dies.
What it says?
So then you see when you see one of those big formations, it's all white. It's dead. The coral's dead. And that's just the skeleton that remains. So in the 80s, that was very popular to have like those... dead coral.
Right, it was like there'll be a shelf at some tool bag's
house. Yeah, like brightly colored rocks and then these white
and then essentially the skeleton of a coral just sitting on a shelf.
It's like,
right?
Hey, I'm interesting. Check out this dead coral.
Coral and then two speakers on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but so how many different kinds of coral are there?
There's hundreds.
Okay.
And I have these three books at home that it's just all coral.
It's just discussions of coral.
And it's mostly from the Barrier Reef, but I mean, there's soft corals as well, which they don't create the hard skeletons like you see, but inside they have little, they're still called corals because in their tissue, their soft tissue, they have calcium carbonate deposits.
And that's what defines kind of a coral?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are more fleshy.
Okay.
You probably still wouldn't want to eat that.
Right. Well, no. is there anything that does eat coral? Like, do they have?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there are fish that, parrotfish, they like chewing on coral and rocks. That's why you can't have a parrotfish in a coral tank.
Okay.
They'll eat it.
And how big are parrotfish? Do they look like parrots?
They can get pretty big. They have big beaks as well.
Oh, weird.
Usually anything that has a big beak, it's for crushing and
For eating shells and harder things like that.
But they like to nibble on the rocks too, just because whatever's on there, they'll crush the rock around it, and then they'll just spit out what they don't want to eat.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It's,
so maybe they have two tongues. Yeah, some animals
I'd come up with a children's story I was trying to write called Toothy. And it was about this. It was almost like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but it was about Toothy who had a giant beak and teeth. And no one wanted to be Toothy's friend because this is the dumbest thing.
That's awesome.
I drew out panels for it, and I was like, nobody wants to be Toothy's friend, but Toothy could cut out coupons.
Sure.
Easily with big choppers.
Yeah.
And so all the people that made fun of Toothy got caught in a fisherman's net. And well, guess who had to save him?
Guess who had to rise to the occasion?
Chop, chomp up.
Chop, chomp, chomp. Toothy rose to the occasion, and did Toothy lord it over them?
Right.
No. No, he didn't.
Toothy also had to save Christmas. He was at the front of Santa's life. But that was,
but it's like that kind of story. But that's a great story. What kid doesn't want to know that whatever weird thing that they have? Because every fish, I think, has to have that. Where you're like, oh, that's a weird looking fish. What's that good for?
Right. They're really beautiful and colorful, too. The ones in the Atlantic, there's like, rainbow parrotfish.
Okay.
And they're just these brightly, just really translucent colors that...
See, that's awesome. And then you're like, well, what is that good for? And you're like, well, they blend in with whatever, and then whatever wants to eat them can't see them.
For some reason, the fish from the Pacific, probably because the Pacific is a much older ocean.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
What? Wait a minute. I thought it was all one ocean.
No, well, all right. So the way, how Pangaea.
Yeah, there was one big
we have
landmass.
South America and Africa fitting into each other, and that was all pushed together. Well, as that moved apart, that was your Atlantic Ocean forming in between.
Oh.
And everything that was around that was the Pacific. So
it was first, and then essentially there was some sort of leakage in between the two, and that created the Atlantic?
Mm-hmm.
Note to self. Now I know something.
So a lot more time has... They've had a lot more time to...
Oh, right, because what was under the landmass... Was not there, right? Or so when the Atlantic was created,
millions of years. I mean, granted, they're millions of years old.
Okay, they're both. Everything's millions of years old.
There's more millions of years
on either side.
Right. Like everything that it seems like everything that can kill you is in the Pacific.
Oh, really?
You got your sea snakes. You got your there's lionfish now in the kraken.
The kraken lives in the Pacific. A lionfish now.
Those are now in the Atlantic because people
keep
dump them in
boats,
South Florida.
Right? Oh, really? Because when you get rid of your your fish tank.
There's a huge problem in South Florida, actually. All the waterways, like the freshwater waterways and around the Everglades, loaded with Oscars.
What's an Oscar?
It's an aquarium fish that they're black and they usually have a spot on their, like an orange spot on their tail.
Yeah.
They're very popular aquarium fishing, only they get big and then people can't care for them anymore, so they dump them.
Oh, my
gosh. Those and these, they're called African cichlids, I believe.
Okay.
And they, I guess it's an African cichlid, but it's like a bass.
Okay.
Essentially. Well, those fish outcompete largemouth and smallmouth bass.
Okay.
Freshwater.
Because people have bought these exotic fish and then they dump them into the local water supply.
Right, and so then they outcompete the fish that are there naturally and they just proliferate.
Right.
And so now there's all these invasive species that people dumped in the water from aquariums.
And are an Oscar fish, and the other kind are those saltwater fish. So they're dumping them.
Well,
into
no,
the lake.
Those were freshwater. But
okay.
So years ago, when I lived in Florida, there were no lionfish. Although when my friend and I would go scuba diving, I'm sorry about them.
You might have to stop eating.
I love.
But I put out food, and then I'm like, I can hear it because I'm the only one wearing cans.
Guys, I'm sorry. I love cashews.
Cashews are excellent.
So my friends and I, when we would go scuba diving, we never saw a lionfish. And granted, this was now around 2000.
Okay.
Which, 14 years ago.
Right. But in the last 14 years, there are now lionfish in...
There's not only lionfish. There's so many lionfish that there is open hunting. You don't usually need like a hunting license to spearfish or to lobster. There's no license required to catch and kill lionfish because they are such an invasive species.
They're like, for the love of God, kill the lionfish.
They have no natural predators. Yeah, they're actually really delicious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, then maybe they could supplant the tilapia.
That's right.
Maybe all of us. Is it a white fish?
It's a very nice white meat.
Okay.
Their spines are incredibly venomous and painful.
Ooh.
So
they do have to
be very
speared?
Careful. Yeah. The thing is, though, they're kind of dumb. They don't realize what's happening because, you know, they never had anyone hunting them.
Oh, right.
So you can practically go right up to one with a spear and just blow a spear through it or just catch it with a net. And the meat's really good, but you have to be very careful getting them out of the net because if you get stuck, your whole arm will swell up and it's very painful.
Oh, really? They are very naturally.
Yeah, there are scorpion fish in the Atlantic that if you like step on them, they'll stick a spine in your foot or your leg.
Right.
And it's very painful as well.
Okay.
Almost like a stingray.
Yeah.
But,
But most of the more deadlier animals fish are in the,
Yeah, so there's these things, I think they're called cone snails.
Cone snails.
So those are those really pretty shells, the very shiny, like almost like
what color are they?
Some look like they have tiger spots on them.
Okay.
And they're very shiny.
I've seen those, yeah.
Because when the snail inside comes out, it polishes that shell. So those are the really pretty ones that people want. However, they have a stinging...
The cone snail.
Stinging, yeah.
Wow.
So people, when they go scuba diving,
they see it,
right? And it's tucked up inside, and they take it. They put it in their BC.
What's a BC?
Your buoyancy compensator.
Got it.
When you're scuba diving.
Excellent.
And while it's in there, it decides it doesn't like it, and it stings them, and they die because the venom is so strong.
Holy shit.
But they didn't bother to check it or anything. So if it stings you, you're basically dead because the venom is so
strong. So essentially, if you see one of those, make sure no one's living in it.
Yeah. Or just, I would err on the side of not picking anything up.
Well, and I always, whenever I think about scuba, I've been scuba diving one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went idiot scuba diving. We were in the Great Barrier Reef a couple of years ago, over off of like the southernmost part of it. So, and we went on this tour, and one of the things you could do was you could go scuba diving with a dude. And so.
Is that how it was billed?
That's it. Well, almost. It was
scuba dive with a dude.
It was almost called idiot scuba diving, and it was $200. And you'd put the suit on, and you'd get in there, and you'd go with like five or six people, and there'd be a guy with you, and you'd go sit in the bottom, and then you'd go scuba diving for about an hour, until you realized how to do it, and then he's like, "Ah, we're done, and you're gonna need to give me another $200," and he would take you around a little bit.
So you didn't need to be certified.
No.
Okay.
That was
it was, you got a crash course and you were with someone who was quote unquote a professional.
Right. Who would save you if you were. And I said, well, how do you know which person? Cause he said, a couple of people, I'll hold on to them. And I said, how do you know which people those are? He said, oh, I can tell immediately.
And he just grabs your arm.
Yeah. And, turns out I was one of those people.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, cause the thing is the whole thing about scuba diving is you're breathing underwater and it's not a natural thing.
Right. So now they didn't even put you in a pool to try it out?
No. We were in the Great Barrier Reef, and there was sort of a, you're in this area, you're in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
but you're in sort of a, it looked like a pool,
yikes.
But you're in the ocean. And he's like, now go underwater. And you're like, now go underwater? He's like, yeah, now's the time. Now's the, because we're going to go underwater. And so we went underwater and.
How do they know how much weight to put on you?
I don't know.
Didn't you give a weight? You had a weight belt?
We had weight belts, but.
They just guessed and gave you weights.
Yeah. So, yeah, what are the, so you have tanks and you have a mask and you have
I think there's a reason why there's a certification for us.
You know what the Australians don't care about? They're willing to let you hug koalas.
Right.
They're like, I swam with whale sharks. The whole thing was ridiculous.
And, wow, whale sharks. That's incredible.
Yeah. Did
they just see one and they sped the boat over to it and they let you all jump
there
in?
There was a pod of whale sharks and then they were like, do it. Go swimming, knock yourself out. And, cause Australians don't care about, they're like, no, you're going to want to poke that.
Yeah.
Poke that.
Third, it seems like all countries not in the U.S., they're a little more lax. They're like, yeah. When I lived in Grand Cayman, I actually lived in Grand Cayman for
how long?
Like a year.
Good year?
A great year.
That's amazing year.
And there's a place called Stingray City. And,
That doesn't sound safe.
It's a whole city! in the North Sound area of the island there, it's basically in this channel that comes into this big thing called the North Sound. So it's the Caribbean, and then it comes into this. But right in the middle where it's flowing into this North Sound, there's just thousands of stingrays.
Okay.
From like a foot wide to 5 feet across.
Are stingrays the ones that sort of fly?
They look like a big wing.
A big wing of something that's sort of flying around and a tail and a big pointy tail.
And
do they
sting? Scary eyes.
And do they sting?
Yeah, if you step on them.
Well, yeah. I mean
Steve Irwin, he died with a stingray tail to the chest.
Oh.
He was hovering over one. I think he got a little too handsy.
Interrupting their day.
And it was so big that it's just such a fluke thing, too, because normally you get stung or whatever. It really hurts.
In the arm. But you don't get it jammed.
It hit him right in the
chest.
Yeah, into his heart, and he died.
You know, all I remember is that he was killed by an animal that he was bothering.
That was a stingray.
But that's fascinating. So did you go swimming with stingrays?
Yeah, well, so there's something you learn that you should even do here. It's not as common along the coast, but especially in Florida, it's called the stingray shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
So as you go into the water.
Okay.
So you don't step on a stingray. You just shuffle your feet. So if they're nearby, they'll swim away.
Oh, because they see the motion of the water and they're like, oh, something's happening.
Oh, they'll see the sand being disrupted.
Yeah.
There's little stingrays.
Lemon rays.
That they're maybe like 8 inches across and they usually come pretty close to the shore.
Right.
So they're just sitting there usually hanging out. And if you step on them, they'll whip up and sting you.
Right.
But here, when you get out of the boat, you're surrounded by thousands. Like, you can't even almost see the seafloor. There's so many stingrays. That's what they call Stingray City.
Right.
But the guide, he'll jump out of the boat and...
Before anybody.
Yeah. And he'll just kind of like push them away so you can get in. And you're just basically, I understanding, and I know the creatures, and I know that they're harmless unless you screw with them. I was terrified to fall. Like, if you fell, I felt like you'd be in really big trouble.
Right, right. Because you're treading water, right?
Right.
And so if you fell into the midst of them and then, like, sort of hit four or five of them at once.
No, you're not treading water. You're standing. It's on a sandbar.
Oh, okay.
But they are everywhere.
Oh,
everywhere.
I don't want to do that. Why is that fun?
It was incredible, I have to say. But they've been doing this now for so long that the stingrays, they don't care that the people are there.
Okay.
And so the big ones, they know that those people come and they give them fish and they'll feed them.
Oh, okay.
Because they eat fish.
Okay.
And
they're like, oh, good.
They will ram you. Like, they will go, like, one, like, this huge one's coming right at you. You see those evil eyes. Their eyes look like devil
like
eyes.
Like fish eyes.
No,
like weird.
They have almost like cat's eyes. They look
really
scary eyes.
Oh, weird. Are there mouths underneath it?
They're underneath.
Okay. So like the jaw drops and you're like, put the fish here.
Yeah.
Put the fish here.
Oh, and they'll show you where their mouth is. Like the guide will pick them up. They will pick up a stingray.
Like on either side of their wings.
Yeah.
And pick them up.
Which is not smart.
No. That doesn't seem...
And the thing's like spitting water because it can't
breathe.
Right.
Because it's a
fish. And now you're like, man, this guy's going to get stung in the chest.
Right. Wow.
But yeah,
but it was
just
amazing to see her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't even describe. I mean, I tried to describe it. I hope
right.
I described it.
I think
it.
You described it pretty well.
But it's scary.
Was that one of your favorite places to go scuba diving? Have you been to Hawaii?
No, well, you don't even scuba dive there. You're basically standing.
Oh, okay.
Because the water is like waist deep.
Oh, fair enough. So that's just standing among
yeah,
fish.
But it's just, yeah, like I said, it's very unsettling. Waist deep or shallow, right?
Have
I'm
you always
sure.
enjoyed swimming?
Yeah, I was on swim team in high school.
Okay.
I like swimming.
Mm-hmm.
But
can you butterfly? Anyway,
that's the toughest one. Sure, I can. Just for like maybe 25 feet.
Sure.
Till I'm exhausted.
Right. What are there favorite places? We have about 10 minutes left, just so you know. it's a podcast. I don't know how to let you know that, because I want to talk about scuba diving
yeah.
and some of your favorite places of scuba diving and some of the things you've seen.
Well, I went to Cabo. Like a year or so ago, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done much other than, well, I did, oh, and I went to Hawaii last year. That was incredible.
Yeah?
I saw some white-tip sharks and manta rays. It's pretty
wow.
cool. Yeah, the sharks were a highlight.
A manta ray is not a stingray.
No, they do not have a stinger, and they're very just, they can get up to like,
are they
14 feet across.
Are they gentle giants?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's amazing how much they like, they just want to play. All they do is, like in Hawaii off the Big Island, you can go at night and you can scuba dive with these. I mean, some of them are 20 feet across. They're
wow.
just gigantic. But
nighttime scuba diving?
Yeah. Oh, when I was in here, I'll tell you real quick. But in Hawaii, so you go there, you all just kind of camp out on the sea floor and you just shoot your lights up and they're just all like swimming in these circles and they're all just playing and
wow.
dancing. Not dancing, but it looks like they're
right,
dancing.
Right, right. That's awesome.
I used to go night diving off of Grand Cayman all the time, which it's not as that it's
dark down there anyway.
It's dark.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's scary though, because I was doing shore dives. So it was not like I was in the open ocean. I was.
Okay.
I would swim out about 100 yards on the surface, and I would drop down. The water there is like crystal clear. It looks like air.
Okay.
And at night, though, that's when the hammerheads and the tiger sharks would feed.
Oh, jeebus Christmas, man.
I never saw. There was a. Reportedly, there was a big tiger shark that kind of patrolled around the island. I never saw it, but.
Do you, you're not supposed to go alone, are you?
No, I would never go alone at night, especially.
Okay.
I did go.
Because it's got to be buddy system,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did go solo during the day a couple times, just because
nobody else
was right there. I knew there was a reef that I was familiar with, so I would just
right.
head down.
But it's dangerous, right? You should definitely go with
well,
a buddy,
yeah,
right?
You want a buddy system because, and you always have a backup regulator, so you have your primary in your mouth, you have a secondary hanging off. That if your primary fails, you can just...
Oh, because it's a mechanical item?
Yeah.
Okay, so what
reason,
if it breaks or something?
For some reason,
if
it starts to free flow or whatever, you can just tie a knot in the cord so you know not to use it. And then it doesn't stop the air from free flowing, but it at least allows you to grab the other ones, and that one works. Your air is depleting, so you'll probably want to go to the surface.
Right,
happens.
You're pretty much done for the moment.
Right.
You got to get the heck
out. And if
out.
You're with a buddy, they have their spare regulator, so if yours fails, they can just hand you theirs.
Okay.
I have rescue certification. That's the highest I went.
Okay.
So,
is there something above that?
There's a dive master and then instructor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I just never felt the need to. I thought about it, but
yeah.
I was like, well.
You're good. But well, I mean, to be able to rescue, that seems
yeah.
that seems plenty.
There's also, I mean.
How often do you dive? Do you still dive?
I haven't gone in a couple months.
Okay.
But, the last time I went out to Catalina. Catalina's pretty nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never been to Catalina.
There's actually a dive park that's right off Casino Point. And you can
Is there a casino there?
No.
There is no, what?
It's not a casino, I guess, is like a gathering place. Is that the traditional sense of the word?
Oh, it's a real word.
Yeah.
It doesn't just mean, oh,
right.
blackjack is available.
It was kind of adopted into be like, hey, it's a casino with gambling. But I guess casino meant that it was like, hey, this place, like
okay.
a forum or something.
Okay.
So there's a staircase. Have you been to Catalina?
I have not.
You've lived here how long?
I know. I really want to go too.
You can go free on your birthday.
What?
Yeah.
The Catalina Dealy Bob?
There's a free boat trip for you on your birthday, round trip.
Plus one or no?
Well, no, for you.
All right.
But then you'd only have to, for two of you, you'd only have to pay $60.
You don't have to, because it's a $60 boat ride.
Right.
On your birthday, you can go to Catalina for free.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do that. Just so. Andy Ashcraft just walked in. And
I want this.
Right. I always wanted to go.
My birthday was 2 days ago.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Thank you. And when I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do, and so we debated whether or not we should go. Mm-hmm, but I had this tiki birthday.
Oh, nice.
I went to Tonga Hut, and so we were like,
might have a Spider-Man birthday. I love that there's a theme.
No, I know. It's awesome. Because I'd been to Hawaii exactly a year ago, and so I just wanted that kind of island theme. But So the casino point, there's a staircase. You just walk right in the water.
Oh, that's cool. And then there's a drop off, and then you can just go scuba diving.
Yeah. So it's cold here, right?
Right.
So you need a 7 mil suit. In Florida, you generally need like a shorty or something that's very thin.
Oh, okay.
Like 3 mil in the winter, 3 millimeter.
And when you wear a suit, does it have footies or is it just?
You have footy boots you get separately. So the suit itself is without feet or gloves.
Is a shorty, does that mean that they're shorts?
It's
is it like
off
Spanx?
At the thigh.
Okay, fair enough. And
and it makes you look real good.
You lose 10 pounds.
Right,
once
it's very
you put
slimming.
It in. Very slimming.
No, it's weird. Some people it looks like they look worse.
Well, I can't say that I looked great in a dive suit, but what do you get to see? What kind of fish do you get to see off Catalina?
Well, you see the state fish, the Garibaldi.
The Garibaldi is the state fish?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a bright orange damsel fish.
Okay. What makes it a damsel? They're not all girls.
It's in distress. It's in distress. All right. That's our classic classic bit we do whenever I'm on the road.
that's a
she
good one.
She sets me up and I knock them down.
Exactly.
It's just a name they give the fish. I don't know why they're very territorial. They almost look like goldfish of the sea.
Okay.
Maybe that's
until you
this
see
particular
those.
One does. The
okay.
Garibaldi, because it's a bright orange.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like.
And that's
safety
the state
orange,
fish
almost.
Of California.
Yeah, because there's so many.
Okay.
And they live in the kelp forests. You can see leopard sharks, horn sharks, swell sharks.
Can you see a kelp forest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's just huge kelp formations, I mean, everywhere.
That's a plant, right?
It is.
That is not
very
a fish.
Very tall plant.
Okay.
The reason they are allowed to grow so high that the water is so full of nutrients here that that's why they get so big.
Okay.
And they have these air sacs that help support the plant because they grow so tall.
Because they grow out of the water, right? Or
they
no?
grow all the way up to the surface.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could get caught in that, and that would be dangerous, right?
There's certain things you have to be careful of when scuba diving through them. So if you ever get tangled up, you don't want to struggle because it starts to wrap around you almost like quicksand. Because
Right. Do you carry a knife?
Yeah.
You
should always carry a knife. It doesn't have to be like a, that's not a knife. When I first started, I had this really big knife, and I was obsessed with having a big knife. And then I realized, well, I don't need that. It's stupid.
Right.
So I have this little utility knife that,
right,
in
that
case I get.
It's just as good.
Yeah, it's just for cutting. Like,
right.
Or you could get tangled up in fish lines, too.
Okay. Yeah.
And that happens if you go too close to a pier.
Okay.
People just throw their lines in the water. I went off of Redondo Beach, and it's disgusting what's under the water there.
Yeah.
Like shopping carts.
Oh,
like,
right.
Like construction horses.
Yeah.
And just old garbage and sea.
It's essentially just garbage.
Yeah. It's gross.
How is that fun? Is that fun?
No, that was not fun in particular.
Okay. Not particularly.
That particular dive site is popular because there's these submarine channels that run parallel to the shore. They're run about 70 feet deep.
Okay.
But you'll see cuttlefish and octopus run through there.
Oh, are octopus? They can be dangerous, can't they? Only if you bug them, probably.
No, not really. I had a friend that stole his knife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he saw the octopus arm in this hole, and he put his knife in there, and then the arm came out and just wrapped around it and yanked it out of his hand. He got it back, but it was pretty funny.
Did he have to fill out a form? How did he get it back?
Yeah, he had to put in a requisition. It took him 6 to 8 weeks.
How long does an octopus live?
They don't actually live that long. I think even the big ones, maybe it's like a year or two at most.
I have heard, that's why I ask, is I've heard that octopus are incredibly smart.
They are. Right. There was a classic experiment.
I've stopped eating octopus because I'm like, so smart, I don't want to eat them.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had it where they cut it fresh and it's still wiggling?
Nope.
I can't do any of that. But
nope, I have not.
There's this classic experiment.
Okay, what's the classic?
Running short on time. But so there's an octopus in a tank, and they have put food in a container, and they've sealed it like a jar with a lid.
Yeah.
They don't let the octopus see this. So they just put a jar with the food in it.
Like a see-through jar so the octopus can see it.
Right, he can see it, doesn't know how to get it. So they take it out then, they open the lid, they show the octopus outside the tank, they unscrew the lid, they screw it back on, they put it in the tank, the octopus opens the jar and eats the fish.
Immediately. Within moments.
They're very smart.
Good thing they only live for a year. They would rule the earth, right?
Or if they could get on land. Have you ever seen an octopus on land? It's gross.
No. Why? Well, first of all, they can't breathe. It seems rude to have them on land.
Like if you threw them on a rock or something.
Right.
It's really
Why
gross.
Is it gross? Is it just because they can't move?
Well, just because it's a slimy ball of slop.
Okay.
The water helps give a lot of these sea animals kind of, you know,
buoyancy
volume.
And
But without majesty. That support, they just look like, you know, this big blob.
Right.
They got
Jabba.
Big brains.
Jabba the Hutt. Wow. I think we could talk about this for another hour, Tony Sam.
I love the ocean. I'm a water sign.
Are you? What Aquarius?
Well, no, is that Scorpio, which you wouldn't think is a water sign, but...
Do you also enjoy astrology?
Not really.
I was going to say.
No, because I've dated enough people that really believe in astrology that they've told me these facts, and I guess
I know about astrology is the thing that I am. Because when you're a kid, people who do care about astrology are constantly saying, all right. I'm Cancer Leo Cuspy,
ooh,
I think.
But
I'm more Cancer. I'm July 20th.
Oh, boy. You have the same birthday as this.
As a lady love of yours?
An old ex.
You, bit of a mover. who knew the ladies' man that Tony Sam was?
Well, I'm...
I don't think we knew it.
I...
People, if you want to know what...
like
you want
ladies.
To get invited to the next wedding of Tony Sam.
No, only two. I think I'm only going to have two. Well, maybe three or four. You know, it just depends.
Here's the good thing about Tony Sam. Serial monogamist. Loves to get married.
No, I mean, I don't think two's that much. Consider... How about this? If you consider how many girls I've dated, I've only married like, I don't know, 2%.
What you're telling me is that you're a bit of a mover. Unforeseen. It's not that, because you look like a real, just sort of a good, steady guy, but obviously you're a bit of a player. Out there.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say. Are you available?
I like ladies.
You enjoy the female
species. I don't think I'm a creep about it.
No, I do not. Well, that's the thing. I don't think you're a creep about it either. But
I just,
do you have a current love interest?
I do.
At this time? Do you have a lady friend?
I do.
Well, that's very nice. He's taken, ladies.
Sorry.
He's taken. So sorry.
Well, you know my luck. You might be, it might be a couple weeks. You can...
Here's my thing. If people want to come and berate you in person about fish or about comedy or about your love life, where can they see you in December?
In December,
January, any of that?
Well, they can check my Tumblr,
TonySamComedy.tumblr.com.
Yeah,
and Tony Sam, TONEKNEE, toe, a toe, the toe. It's part of a body. The knee, it's also part of the body, and then Sam.
That's right. I think I actually might be doing a show in Chicago in December.
Okay. Please do not throw a cone snail at him.
I will destroy you.
and please get his new album, Scaredy Cat, from Stand Up Records.
No fish stories on there, but it's fantastic. I'm very proud of it.
Very proud of it? That's neat. That's all neat. So everybody should go out and get that. And
it's on iTunes, Amazon, all that stuff.
Thank you so much for talking to me about fish. I finally got someone to talk
to. Thank you for having me.
And you know the rules, it's my new saying now. I don't know why it's a rule, but be nice to each other, Rangers. Okay, bye. I know it's weird.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that?
If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?